Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. Hey, everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right. Join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, camp stove, and campfire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at TheMeatEater.com. Hope to see you at the show.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Seafoam Motor Treatment, a proud podcast sponsor of Meat Eater. Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newharth, and today we're joined by Stephen Ranella, Danielle Pruitt, Hunter Spencer, Randall Williams, Jordan Sillers, Tyler Jones, and Casey Smith. Now, for most of you, this is your first time playing Meat Eater Trivia, so we're going to go around the room, and you're going to tell us how you think you'll perform. Danielle, she's our culinary expert, host of Wild and Whole sourced YouTube series. Danielle, how do you think you'll do in Meat Eater Trivia?
Pretty bad.
Maybe you'll clean up.
I've almost been dreading this all
really?
Day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, it's my brain is not able to retain information in the form of like people, places, numbers.
Okay.
So I just feel I might be a little embarrassed.
Maybe he'll clean up in the culinary category, though.
I hope
though.
So.
Well, he'll throw you a bone, though, but I don't think he can do it because he's got so many first-time players.
Well, do you know what they all have in common, Steve?
Texas.
They're
Wait,
all
you're from Texas?
From
Virginia.
Hunter's played before.
No, he's played before.
Yeah. Now, normally folks who are on the Meat Eater payroll don't get a bone thrown to them, but because we have so many new players in town and you're all from Texas, you might hear a question that's from your neck of the woods.
What state was the Alamo in?
Now, Jordan, you're our firearms expert and someone who helps create Cal's Week in Review. Jordan, how do you think you're going to do in Meat Eater Trivia?
He's going to be good.
No, well, we were talking about movies on the podcast just a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Remember that movie Slumdog Millionaire?
Oh, yeah.
About the guy and
oh, yeah.
His life experiences perfectly match up with the questions he's asked.
100%. Okay.
If that happens to me, I'll do great.
Okay.
But if not...
Where was Jordan Sillers born?
Yep. That's not going to happen, probably.
And then I'll make a movie about it, and you'll win Best Picture.
Exactly.
It'll be incredible.
Yep. Jordan was telling me something interesting that... going between Canada and Texas. When you're in Canada, you're too American, and when you're in Texas, you're too Canadian, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so I was born in Canada. That's where my family is. So we'd go up and visit after we moved to the States. And when we were up there, we were the Americans. But then in the States, we were the Canadians.
Sure.
So I don't fit in anywhere.
It's called being disenfranchised.
I'm disenfranchised, yes. Exactly.
Tyler and Casey, they host the Element podcast and have some YouTube content dropping on Meat Eater's YouTube feed later this year. How do you boys think you'll do in Meat Eater Trivia?
I think I'll be in the middle of the pack. I've done two of these just listening in my car or my truck and done pretty well.
Give us a score.
I just hope I don't miss the Texas.
Like, you're like, what are you in the 5-6 range?
Yeah, probably like that. Five, maybe.
Okay. Are you pausing? You hitting pause?
Is there a pause button?
No, when then you're listening Google. From home.
No, not by no means.
How many seconds do we have to answer?
Not
until. Do you go through the rules?
He kind of waits so it quiets down, then he says, show your answer.
Yeah. Until it's not interesting anymore. That's how much
time I got. I got a question for you.
Yeah, what's up?
One is a thing I just learned that's real interesting is that, you know, Randall, he's the only person that works here that has a PhD.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Really?
And that's so esteemed that at the library, they made it that he can check out books as long as he wants.
Wow.
No late fees, no due date. That's how these people take care of each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how the eggheads. That's like what the eggheads will do for each other.
Yeah, and like professors, you were always granted 5 minutes being late for every degree you had. So how late does that allow you to be, Randall?
No one told me about that.
Yeah, it's got to be 15.
Yeah.
No one told me about that rule.
Yeah. When he takes a book, it's just his.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. Most of us chumps only have 5 minute grace, but Randall, he can wander in 15 minutes late. Nobody will be mad.
PhD.
That's good to know. Mm. Is that a company?
Is that like all through all libraries?
No. I got a affiliate faculty status at UM. Mm.
So. Do you have a little card or something that says what's up?
No, I got a student ID, or not a student ID, whatever, the Grizz card they call it. And when I went to get it last week, they said, we have your old picture on file. Do you just want to use that one?
Yeah.
Totally different shape. My face. Totally different color. it was unrecognizable. I thought, this just won't even work. You know?
Well, when you check a book out, how do you let them know that you're like, there'll be no due date?
It's just keyed into those are my borrowing privileges. There are different categories, different tiers of borrowing privileges. So I went from just a Montana resident. So as a Montana resident, you can go in and get like a lot of borrowing privileges at UM or any of the public universities. And those are like the lowest of the low because it's just anybody with a Montana driver's license. So I just leapfrogged.
It's like schmucks.
Yeah. Yeah. I leapfrogged to the top tier, I think. God. Unless there's some like unknown tier beyond like the provost and the university president, they can just walk out with rare and collectible books. But yeah.
That puts you at a big trivia advantage, I'd say, Randall.
Oh,
depends on how much of the reading I'm actually doing.
Yeah.
You know, there's something
he's
to be said
uniquely suited to dominate and pisses me off.
Now, Casey,
can I ask one more quick question?
Yeah, what's up?
When you say who's here, you're not going like you're dealing poker, and you're not going alphabetic. How are you making your list?
Giannis asked the same question last week.
I'm usually pulling up the Google invite and seeing who accepted the invite to come and then just writing it down that way. Now, Casey, we haven't heard from you yet. How do you think you're going to do in Meat Eater Trivia?
Spencer, I absolutely love trivia games,
okay,
and I'm here to win. That doesn't mean I'm going to, but I am going to give it my best.
Good.
Steve wanted to wager earlier, but he hasn't told me the terms, so I suppose...
I was trying to do a side bet of $5.
I mean, if that's what we have to do, that's what we have to do. All right.
Now, if you're not familiar, this is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. And there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. And each week here on Meat Eater Trivia, we reveal a new stat. This week, we're looking at the Meat Eater Trivia Perfect Games. Through 46 episodes, we've had 3 shows where someone has gotten all 10 questions right. Steve is responsible for one of them, and Brody has gotten the other 2. That means that 6.5% of episodes end in a perfect game. In those perfect games, the average score of the other players has been 5.
Some math in the end. I love that.
We got more. In those perfect games, the average score of the other players was 5.7, so Brody and Steve nearly doubled up the rest of the room. That tells me that they weren't easy rounds. Those boys were just on their A game.
It's great.
You like it?
Yeah, great stat.
Now, in the last few weeks, I've had some listeners reach out saying that I could make my job a lot easier if I just used AI technology to write the trivia questions. So, I tried it. I went to ChatGPT and asked the bot to write me 10 trivia questions about hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. This was a complete failure. Here are some of the questions that it suggested.
Can I play?
You're not going to want to play. Oh. That's how bad they are. Take it away, Phil.
Question. What is the main method used to catch fish in freshwater? Answer. Fishing with a rod and reel. Question. What is the term used for the conservation of wildlife? Answer. Wildlife conservation. Question. What is the purpose of salt in baking? Answer. Salt enhances flavor. Question. What is the hunting season for wild turkey in the United States? Answer. Turkey season.
So, while it's projected that AI technology will replace 85 million jobs by 2025, the host of Meat Eater Trivia isn't one of them.
Oh, man, by 2025?
Yeah. It's coming. Fast.
85 million?
85 million.
That's scary.
Global.
I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, Spencer's good.
No, I'm not worried about it.
Now, the Shelby Index for this round is a 5, so I'm officially putting this on perfect game alert. With that, we're on to the round of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Question one, the topic is conservation, and as always, this will be multiple choice. This first great question comes to us via Mitch Morris. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. What state had the most acres burned by wildfires in 2022? Was it Texas, Washington, New Mexico, or Alaska? A lot of folks writing answers before I even gave the choices. I think we have a confident room. Again, the question is, what state had the most acres burned by wildfires in 2022? Your four choices are Texas, Washington, New Mexico, and Alaska. Steve, did you get this one right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's what you thought it was before I gave the choices. The choices didn't change your mind, is what I'm asking.
No. I don't know what would have happened when I got done thinking about it, but when I started thinking about it, I had the wrong answer.
Okay.
But I would have thought about it longer.
Four choices.
I'd still
Texas,
be thinking about it.
Washington, New Mexico, Alaska. Does everybody have an answer?
How you feeling, Randall?
Not that confident.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Alaska, Tyler saying Texas, Danielle saying Washington, Hunter saying Texas, KC saying New Mexico, Randall saying New Mexico, Jordan saying New Mexico.
We have a right answer in the room.
The correct answer is Alaska.
Oh.
Steve with a hot start.
Yeah, perfect game, bro.
In 2022, Alaska had 3.1 million acres of land burned by wildfires. That's followed by New Mexico at 860,000, Texas at 670,000, Oregon at 460,000, Idaho at 440,000, Oklahoma at 390,000, and California at 310,000. Despite Alaska leading the country in wildfire acres last year, they only burned half as much as they did during their record year of 2004. Question two, the topic is
that was one of those,
fishing.
Oh, I didn't know that questions. It's a great question.
I didn't want to put California in there. I think the whole room would have said California. Mm-hmm. So give you other choices. Question two, the topic is fishing. Multiple fishermen were robbed by cartel pirates who drove bass boats on this Rio Grande Reservoir in 2010.
Mm.
Multiple fishermen were robbed by cartel pirates who drove bass boats on this Rio Grande Reservoir in 2010. If you didn't pick up on it, this is our Texas question for all of our Texas friends in the room. Danielle, do you think you know this one?
I don't know.
Son of a gun, man.
Hanging on a prayer.
Listen,
here.
Throwing a bone out like this is depriving me of my perfect game.
Casey, you got this one?
Potentially.
Okay. Yep. Jordan?
No.
Tyler?
I have two, and I can't figure out which one it is.
You do the other one, and one of us will be right.
Okay, perfect.
Not real confident Texans. Again, the question is multiple fishermen were robbed by cartel pirates who drove bass boats on this Rio Grande Reservoir in 2010. Does everybody have an answer? Who's coming up with an answer? Jordan, how long have you lived in Texas?
6 years.
Do you know any Rio Grande reservoirs?
None are coming to mind.
Okay. Do you know any cartel pirates?
No.
Does everybody have an answer? Steve, you going to get this one?
No, man. I don't even know.
Okay. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Lake Austin. Tyler saying Amistad. Danielle saying Falcon. Hunter saying Apache. Casey saying Amistad. Randall without an answer. Jordan saying Devil's Lake. The correct answer is Falcon Lake. Danielle
got it right. Danielle, come on.
You know how I knew this? Travis used to work in Zapata and around that time. And I remember, like, he was really close to this lake, and there was, like, a lot of funny business with the cartel. I didn't know the story about the bass boats, but I knew there was a lot of cartel action on the lake.
Piracy briefly became a major problem on Falcon Lake in 2010 when a turf war broke out between the Los Zetas and Gulf Cartel. Fishermen were warned not to travel into Mexican waters for a few months until one side won. The pirates used fishing boats to smuggle contraband and rob civilians, and in one instance, misspelled the words game warden and duct tape on the side of their boat.
That's great. How'd they spell it?
Yeah, how'd they spell it?
I think the last E in game warden, they put an I.
They still would have got the question right because you don't care about spelling.
That's right. A perfect game is over two questions in. Question three, the topic is cooking. This city hosts the World Championship Barbecue Cooking Contest and uses pork for the foundation of its barbecue style. This city hosts the World Championship Barbecue Cooking Contest and uses pork for the foundation of its barbecue style. Quick answer from Jordan. Quick answer from Steve. Steve, you got this?
50-50.
Okay.
Oh, she erased. She erased over there.
Danielle did?
Yeah.
Again, this city hosts the World Championship Barbecue Cooking Contest.
I saw a little something in the way she was moving her pen that makes me think I might be on to something.
Okay. Does everybody have an answer?
I don't like it.
Hunter, good? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Memphis. No. Tyler saying Memphis. Danielle crossed out Memphis and wrote Kansas City.
Kansas City's beef, though, right?
Hunter says Kansas City. Casey says Austin.
Texas.
Randall says Memphis. And Jordan says Memphis. The room did well. The correct answer is Memphis.
You know what I saw Danielle do is dot an I.
Oh,
and I was like, it's Memphis.
Kansas City.
She was dot an I. Also, Kansas City.
I should have kept it.
Memphis is most famous for its pork ribs and pork shoulders. This regional style of barbecue often uses a sauce that's thin and tangy. The World Championship Barbecue Cooking Contest is held there each May and set the Guinness World Record for biggest pork barbecue competition in 1990.
I'll tell you what kind of barbecue I think is pretty damn good, and I don't know how I didn't know about it, is the white sauce.
Alabama.
Dude, I got into my like late 40s and not know that was a thing.
Did you learn about it through Meat Eater Trivia?
No, I learned about it before that, but I remember I got that one right though because of that. Yeah. I think I got it right.
Question four. The topic is hunting. This next great question comes to us via Scott Sudkamp. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. What is the only subspecies of turkey from the World Slam that can't be hunted in America? What is the only subspecies of turkey from the World Slam that can't be hunted in America?
You got a real problem right now, buddy.
Okay. Tell me about it.
Like I've often said, we need to leave the room, but you have a real problem right now.
Do you want to expand or do you want to talk about it afterwards?
We'll talk about it afterwards, okay. But I think you're going to have, you need an 11th question. I could keep my mouth shut and get the point.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I will.
Does everybody have an answer?
I think it's too late for that.
What is the only subspecies of turkey from the World Slam that can't be hunted in America?
Do we have to spell it right?
No, he doesn't care about spelling.
Doesn't matter.
If it's so far off that it might have been a different word, he'll get you.
I think I got the first letter right.
Okay. Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying oscillated, Tyler saying oscillated, Danielle saying Osceola, Hunter without an answer, Casey saying oscillated, Randall without an answer, Jordan saying
Randall, just like not even writing anything down.
This is like the opposite of the Slumdog Millionaire scenario.
That would have been a horrible movie. At the end of the movie, he's like, yeah, I don't know.
The correct answer is oscillated. Steve, what do you got for me?
It's not. It's a completely different species. It's not a subspecies. It's a completely different species.
So if I said species, then you'd be okay with it.
Oh yeah, but you get your. Okay.
Okay. This is looking at the NWTF and what they say the world slime
is. I think it has its own Linnaean name.
Okay.
Someone check me on this. Open up a
computer. We'll address it in housekeeping.
Well, I still want
of
the
next episode. Yeah. You get the point.
Okay.
You
got what about the other problem with this question? What is America? Because we have North and South America and Central America. So now, all these
he knows
the United
what he
States.
Yeah, but, I mean, the question's the question.
Are we giving it to Danielle? That's my question.
No, Osceola is a different bird.
Come on.
This is not even the same thing.
Yes, it is. You know that I meant that.
Oh, I thought you meant an Osceola turkey.
Oh, wait, that's a different turkey?
That's a different turkey. The six turkeys included in the World Slam
are South Florida.
Eastern, Osceola, Rio Grande, Merriam's, Gould, and Oscillated.
Hold on, let me see that again.
I meant the one Osceolosa. In Mexico. Is that the one you're talking about?
Osceolosa.
I don't know, because it sounds a hell of a lot like Osceola.
But I think you're closer to Osceola than you are Oscillated.
But it is
that's
the,
a
we're
hybrid.
Talking about the Mexican, the one in Mexico, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but what you write on the board matters a lot, though.
Danielle wrote what would happen if an Osceola and an Oscillated met in the Caribbean and had a hybrid. Now, these birds are famous for their peacock-like appearance and metallic feathers that range from electric blue to burnt orange. Steve, have you killed one yet?
Dude, no. And me and Yanni have almost gone. We had a whole trip planned. We were supposed to go last year. Like, we were lined up. We were going. Mm-hmm. And then in the end, the guy we were going with, we got into doing the sighty stuff. And the guy we're going with, it gradually emerged that this guy did not have permits, but was kind of being like, no one cares.
And you care.
It's not really a thing. I mean, like, no one's going to check.
Someday it's going
to
happen.
So we had to bail. Oh, it's going to happen, buddy. You know, I'm already a super slam holder.
Question five, the topic is wildlife. What 2013 award-winning documentary focused on Tillicum, the orca who killed three people? What 2013 award-winning documentary focused on Tillicum, the orca who killed three people? Steve, did your homunculus help you there?
No, I just knew it.
Okay. Some confident folks.
Randy, you doing any writing over there? You're going to leave her, sit her out again?
Already done.
Okay.
Straight out.
Fairly confident room. Casey, you got this one? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Hunter? Tyler?
It's debatable. Okay. I don't know.
Danielle, you look like you knew it.
Yeah. Maybe.
Okay. Again, topic is wildlife. What 2013 award-winning documentary focused on Tillicum, the orca who killed three people? Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Blackfish. Tyler saying Blackfish. Danielle.
Free Willy.
Danielle saying Free Willy. Hunter without an answer. Casey saying Blackfish. Randall saying Blackfish.
I know Willy killed three people.
Jordan saying
that's why he's locked up.
Blackfish.
They left that out of the movie.
The correct answer
when
is
he
Blackfish.
Kills the little boy.
Only four humans have ever been killed by orcas. Tillicum is responsible for three of those deaths. The first death happened in 1991 when Tillicum grabbed a trainer's foot, pulled her underwater, and drowned her. The second death happened in 1999 when a homeless person snuck into Tillicum's pool after hours and was drowned by the whale. And the third death happened in 2010 during a show when Tillicum grabbed its trainer by the ponytail, scalped her, bit her arm off, swallowed it, and drowned her. Did you watch the documentary, Steve?
Uh-uh. No, it seems like I might not, because I don't know. That's a lot. That's a lot to watch.
What happened to the?
Tillicum was then put in a different pool at SeaWorld, and then he died in 2017.
They didn't put him down?
They didn't put him down. One of the problems with situations like this was he died at about 35, which is the normal life expectancy of orcas in captivity. But in the wild, they live up to like 100. So Tillicum had a rough life. Phil, we are halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
I want to watch that movie now, man.
Check it out.
So much, like, action.
I used to think there was some nuance in, like, the orcas being kept in captivity. But after that, and after doing some whale watching, it's like, no. It's just, like, pretty dang evil.
In last place, 0 points, we have Hunter Spencer. Coming up next is Danielle with 1 point. Then we have Jordan, Casey, and Randall with 2 points apiece. Tyler has 3 points. And in first place is Steve with 4.
Hey, everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right. Join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, camp stove, and campfire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th. The Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25, The Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27, The Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29, The Union in Salt Lake City. April 30, The Egyptian in Boise. May 1, The Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, The Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at themeateater.com. Hope to see you at the show.
Question 6. The topic is anthropology. Considered the most populous tribe in America, considered the most populous tribe in America, these people were forced to relocate to Oklahoma in 1838.
Is that a bone?
Not a bone. Considered the most populous tribe in America, these people were forced to relocate to Oklahoma in 1838. A very confident room.
We I thought may you have said populist a... at first.
Populist?
Thought you said that.
I don't understand.
Like a mega like tribe.
Popular? Now, populous. Does everybody have an answer? This might be a 7 for 7
mega
in the room. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Cherokee. Damn. Tyler saying Cherokee. Danielle saying Comanche. Hunter saying Comanche. Casey saying Cherokee. Randall and Jordan saying Cherokee. They got it. The correct answer is
would you have Tyler?
Cherokee.
Cherokee.
It's hanging in there.
It's estimated there are nearly 800,000 Cherokee peoples in the United States, which is nearly 500,000 more than the next largest tribe, the Navajo. The Cherokee once inhabited states like North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, and Tennessee, but were forced to relocate after gold was discovered in part of their range.
Is it, maybe I'm wrong about this, but is there, like... for membership in some tribes, there's a higher threshold of lineage, and they have a very relaxed threshold.
Like you could be like a 20,
you could be like a 24th.
I think it's a 16th.
16th, yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Question 7. The topic is fishing. This next great question comes to us via Jeremy Creed. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. What fishing lure brand has caught the most world records according to the IGFA? What fishing lure brand has caught the most world records according to the IGFA? Quick answer from Steve, Jordan, Randall. Jordan, you got this one?
I don't know. I just named one.
Randall?
Just guessing.
Okay. Steve, quickest right. answer. You think you got this?
Not, you know, what do you call it when you know it? You know, I don't know it, but I think I'd, you know what I'm saying?
Educated guess.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Not educated as much as Randall.
Does everybody have an answer? Danielle? One more time. What fishing lure brand has caught the most world records, according to the IGFA?
Everybody's going to have the same answer, I think.
Does that help you at all, Danielle?
Oh, that's not what I meant.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve and Tyler saying Rapala, Hunter saying Rattletrap, KC, Randall, and Jordan all saying Rapala. They got it. The correct answer is Rapala. Rapala has caught 489 world record fish from
Are
the IGFA
serious?
Books. Mm. That's followed by Meps at 99, Yozuri at 90, Helco and Storm at 60, and Homemade Lures at 59. The most common.
Give me the top number one and two again.
Number one is Rapala, 489.
No. Okay, 489.
That's right. Meps 99, Yozuri
not even like,
90. Not even close.
Not even a prayer of getting overtaken. And the weird thing is that I thought of is they're not huge in the saltwater space. Like with all like big game offshore, all that, you know what I mean?
Okay. The most common lure type used to catch world record fish is a jig, followed by spoons and plastic worms. Question eight, we'll get another scoreboard update from Phil the engineer after this. The topic is cooking. The Maine version is chilled and dressed with mayo, while the Connecticut version is warm and dunked in butter. What is it? The Maine version is chilled and dressed with mayo, while the Connecticut version is warm and dunked in butter. Quick answer from Steve and Danielle. Danielle, you got this one right.
I better. I'll be depressed.
Oh, I think I just screwed it up.
You can still change your answer this time.
Can you say it one more time?
The Maine version is chilled and dressed with mayo, while the Connecticut version is warm and dunked in butter. What is it? It's the least confident the room has looked yet, except for Danielle.
I mean, I know, like, I think I know, what it roughly has going on here.
When you figure it out, you'll be like, oh, so obvious.
Danielle, you don't need to help the guy in first place.
I know, I shouldn't. I just want to make him feel real bad if he misses.
That's right. Jordan, you have an answer. You're going to get this one right.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Steve, I noticed you haven't changed your answer.
No, I think I got it.
Okay. Some waffling, but you're sticking with what you started with.
Listen, I'm not embarrassed. It's not like when I had to put up Lake Austin earlier. That was embarrassing.
Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answer. We have Steve saying lobster. Tyler saying lobster po' boy. Danielle saying lobster. Hunter saying lobster roll. KC saying smoked oysters. Randall saying lobster roll, and Jordan saying lobster. The correct answer is lobster roll. Oh. I don't think we're going to give it to you
if you only
said lobster.
That's not true because you don't have to have lobster in a roll to dip it in butter. Most people just dip the lobster in butter.
But it wouldn't be Maine lobster. Mayonnaise? It's a Maine lobster roll. It's not Connecticut lobster. It's a Connecticut lobster roll.
Yeah, but the roll is just a form of eating it. It's not.
It would be like if
Christopher's a PhD in the room.
It'd be like if the answer was beef tartare and you just said beef. It's not the same thing.
What if you meant beef tartare?
If I went to a restaurant in Maine and ordered the lobster, would they bring it out with mayonnaise?
No.
No.
You gotta say roll.
I don't know.
You have to say roll is a crucial part of the answer.
Yeah, but you could go to Maine and have lobster dipped in butter.
Sure.
But if you're going to eat a roll in two different places, they would serve it differently.
That's
why. But like the point is like where? How would you serve it?
It's a type of sandwich.
Does my Cajun friend still qualify? Just use the southern term.
I don't think that's it.
Steve's worried.
Hey, if you don't give it to him, you could not give it to me.
He's not giving it to him.
Hey, I need somebody to take the champ down here, right?
It has to be lobster roll. If you just said lobster, It's not good enough. The other key difference between them is the bun. The Maine version is usually served on a Frankfurter roll, while the Connecticut version uses a toasted hot dog bun. Mainers considered declaring the lobster roll its official state sandwich in 2021, but the bill was shot down by the Senate. Phil, we have two questions left.
On what ground?
Give us a scoreboard update. Wasn't worth their time.
They wanted the butter.
Yeah.
Out of the game are Hunter and Danielle, who have 1 point apiece. Thanks for playing, though. We got Jordan and KC with 4 points. Tyler and Randall with 5. And still in first place is Steve with 6 points.
Okay. Still have a chance. Two questions left. Question 9. The topic is woodsmanship. This is our peak refuel question of the week, which was won by Tina Swartz. For sending this great question, Tina is going to get a week's worth of peak refuel meals, as well as a book signed by Steve. Eating buckthorn will cause animal urine to turn this color when exposed to sunlight.
Come on.
Eating buckthorn will cause animal urine to turn this color when exposed to sunlight. Steve, was that a come on like too easy? A come on?
Oh, no,
on,
I
like
got no idea. Okay.
Wait, repeat it. What animal? Any animal?
Any animal. Eating buckthorn will cause animal urine to turn this color when exposed to sunlight.
That's a great question.
Stumped room.
I feel as if they haven't tried every animal. So.
You got me there.
It's a chimpanzee trap.
Buckthorn. You know what buckthorn looks like, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That doesn't help you at all.
Dude, this isn't even like a thing. My homunculus has never learned this.
Yep.
I've never learned. It's not like I forgot. I'd never learned it.
Uh-huh. Does everybody have an answer for the color that the urine turns when exposed to sunlight?
Great question.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying green, Tyler saying blue, Danielle saying green, Hunter saying red, KC saying green, Randall, what's your answer, saying orange, Jordan saying green. The correct answer is blue.
Oh!
Tyler,
you
guys are right.
Damn it.
Blue.
Ties it up. Really? Buckthorn.
Did you know it or guess it?
I had green and Spencer gave me a hint.
It would turn
oh, what was the red. Hint?
So you know what color it is. So it kind of, changed my answer based on that. Okay. I don't know if that was an actual intended hint.
Hold on, say this again now?
I don't
I
know what buckthorn
you if
is.
You knew what buckthorn was, and then
what
you said
they have to do
yes.
With...
What is buckthorn?
Buckthorn is an invasive shrub that's found in 37 states. Although deer and rabbits don't consider it a choice food source, they will eat it when options are limited. The bark from the tree is what causes urine to turn blue after about 10 minutes of sunlight exposure. Many woodsmen refer to this as Smurf pee and often witness it in the winter in snow.
Homet.
So
him and I didn't talk about anything that would have told you the answer.
So what is, I don't know what buckthorn looks like.
Buckthorn, though. it's a shrubby thing that has some
brown?
Berries on it. Well, the bark, it looks like any other
it's not like vegetation. A pale color bark?
I wouldn't Can you say find so. This
Well, that's what I was, that
Texas.
Was where I was putting things together.
But you said that you thought he said something to me
I asked
told
you,
Steve, you the answer.
Yeah. I asked you if you knew what buckthorn was.
Why would that tell you what color it is?
He asked if you knew what it looked like.
And so then you thought,
I thought
it might
be kind of pale, so I just assumed blue would be a good color.
We're on
so
question
just,
10.
Listen.
Very
dude,
intuitive,
if he
sir.
If he wins, that's an asterisk as one wild,
no way.
A wild guess.
The asterisk is the Austin, Texas, Austin Lake, Texas. Yeah.
That was a wild guess.
Phil, listen, I feel like question, I'm fixing to go down on a kickoff right now, Steve.
Question 10.
I'm tired, man.
Give us another scoreboard update.
Well, we have three players left in the game. Randall has 5 points, and tied with 6 points apiece are Steve and Tyler.
All right.
Dude, I don't like it. No,
question 10. The topic is conservation. This virus, which arrived in America in 1999, is credited with killing millions of birds each year.
Are you kidding me?
This virus, which arrived in America in 1999... is credited with killing millions of birds each year. A very confident room and a perturbed Steve.
Well, I kind of want to talk to you outside for a minute.
Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying bird flu, Tyler saying avian flu, Danielle saying avian flu, Hunter saying avian flu, KC, and Randall and Jordan saying avian influenza. They all got it wrong. The correct answer is West Nile.
Oh,
bird flu has been in America since the 1920s.
That was a great question.
Now, the first case of West Nile was observed in New York City in 1999. Officials believed it arrived here with an infected bird or mosquito, and within 5 years, it had spread across the continent. Game birds are capable of carrying West Nile, but there's no evidence that the virus can be transmitted through eating infected meat.
It's a great question.
Mm-hmm.
That's what knocked rough grouse digging the dirt so bad, isn't it?
Yeah. Sage grouse, I think, really struggled. And they found, I think there's like a couple hundred birds that can catch West Nile, and only about half of them can build up immunity.
Great question.
We're going to overtime between Tyler and Steve. Play the drop, Phil.
Tiebreaker.
If you ain't first, you're last.
I mean, that doesn't make any sense at all.
You're first, you're last. You can be second. You can be third, fourth, hell, you can be fifth.
The tie-breaking question, the topic is conservation, and this is from Brian Dock. The Secretary of the Interior is what number in the line of presidential succession? This is a numerical question. Whoever is closest between Tyler and Steve will be declared the winner. Again, the question is, the Secretary of the Interior is what number in line of presidential succession? I'm going to give you guys a little bit of clarity here.
I'd like to walk through my thinking on this.
The first person is the vice president. It doesn't start at president. I'm just telling you, number one is vice president. It's not one president. Mm. So on and so forth. The rest of the room can come up with answers if you want to play along, but the only ones that matter are Tyler and Steve. This is an exciting finish. Tyler, who's never even played trivia before, walks in here off the street from Texas in a different climate. This is a tough environment for Tyler to be playing in. It's cold, it's snowy, it's windy. That's
right. I can't focus.
That's right. And Steve over here, his eyes are getting watery. He's so, so
focused. That is
focused.
A good question, man.
Again, the Secretary of the Interior is what number in line of presidential succession?
God, I'd love to walk through my thinking on this.
Go ahead, write it out, and we can talk about it afterwards. Randall, as being the educated fella in the room, this seems like this is most in your wheelhouse.
I want to make it known that at no point today did I bring up my academic pedigree.
This isn't in his wheelhouse. This is like on the center of the steering wheel.
I didn't bring this up.
But how do you think you'd fare in this question? Don't give too many hints, but do you think you'd have a good chance?
Well, I've lost all confidence in my abilities today.
All right. And but Jordan, as our Canadian, do you think you'd have a shot at this one?
Decent shot.
You probably
decent
know some shot. American things that most Americans don't even know.
Maybe. I mean, I had to study. I was just telling the folks earlier, I just became an American, so I had to study for the naturalization test. This is not one of the questions on the test.
Do you feel like you know more about America than Americans having studied for that?
Not a
high bar.
Yeah, it's not a high bar. I studied a little bit, but I knew most of it. Mm. It's pretty simple.
Tyler, do you have an answer?
Yep.
Steve, do you have an answer?
I do, buddy.
Okay. Go ahead and reveal your answers.
Oh, anybody shit, in the that's room what I wanted to write.
We have Hunter saying 7, KC saying 6, Randall saying 8, Jordan saying 14, Tyler saying 5, and Steve saying 4.
He won it now.
The correct answer is 8th, making Tyler our winner. Tyler, well done. Very impressive.
I thought he was going to say something like 20. I don't know.
Let me walk you through what it is. 1 is vice president, 2, speaker of the house, 3, president of the senate, 4, secretary of state, 5, secretary of treasury, 6, secretary of defense, 7, attorney general, and 8 is the secretary of the interior. The list goes all the way to 18, and in last is the homeland security secretary.
Let me tell you a little bit about why I wrote what I wrote.
Let's hear it.
Because at that time, the Secretary of Interior was a big deal. Like, you know, when they got to the headwaters of the Missouri, they named, did they like name one of them? No, it was a treasurer.
I don't know.
Gallatin.
Gallatin's the treasurer.
Yeah. Oh, never mind. That was my thinking.
I had seven and I erased it.
As far as secretaries go.
You would have won even more.
Yeah, more wins.
Interior beats out agriculture, commerce, labor, transportation, energy, education, veterans affairs, and homeland security. Tyler, well done. What happens next is you get to choose where the $500 donation goes. I feel like you should acknowledge
that Randall got it dead nuts.
Randall, yeah. That is great.
I could go to number six.
You could?
I figured it was close.
Yeah. Really? And like you had all six in the correct order as well. Very
dude,
impressive.
So when you're Secretary of Interior, you're not getting like terribly cocky. You're not like, baby, yeah. If things go right. Yeah.
If all seven of them are in one place at one time.
It's got to go way wrong happens. Before it goes yeah. right.
Yeah. Baby, I'm just one nuclear explosion away from running this place.
They always say with the Vice President that you're like one heartbeat away. Secretary of the Interior, though.
I'm one
away.
Apocalypse away from running this whole show.
Tyler, so what are you going to choose for the $500 donation to a conservation organization?
I did some volunteer work for Ducks Unlimited for a while, and so I actually ran a chapter in my hometown, so I think I'd like to do that.
I like it. What was the hometown chapter?
Emory.
And is it still around?
No, it's not, actually.
Oh, yep. So you're going national or you're going local?
You can pick either one.
Okay. Oh, I would like to go to the Sulphur Springs Ducks Unlimited chapter.
That's where we'll send our $500 then. Well done. One of the most impressive things we've witnessed, Tyler. Dustin Huff also came in here, had never played before, beat the room. Mm-hmm. Tyler, similar feat. Good game.
Thank you. Makes you wonder what kind of talent's out there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's probably some strong players out
all the way down in Texas. Yeah. Who'd have thought? Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. Hey, everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right. Join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, camp stove, and campfire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at the Meat Eater.com. Hope to see you at the show.